am with you always to the end of the world. And he said the word teaching in verse 19 actually means to make disciples. Many people have heard that disciples is a spiritual word. It's not. Disciple means someone who is learning. That makes sense? Someone who is learning, who is actively learning. So it suffices to say that the church, listen very well, you have a church. The church is for teaching. You know we said that last week, right? Then we looked at Paul. Paul said, I am appointed a preacher because of this, right? 1 Timothy 1, 1 Timothy 2, 1 to 7. Are we there last week? Yes. Alright, so basically, teaching is the reason why we have church. Church is not for drama, it's not for entertainment. Church is for teaching God's word. Bible study is the lifeline of the church of Christ. Christ himself was so-called a teacher. In fact, Nicodemus said in John 3, 1, he says, you are a teacher from God. And so the reason why we have church, oh, it's cool to sing songs, it's cool to fellowship with one another, but the primary reason why we have church is so that we can get to learn God's word. And so, he says the church is for discipleship. Discipleship. Discipleship means you be actively learning. That makes sense? Does that make sense? That means when you come into Christ, listen very well, when you come into Christ, you don't bring your own ideas. You don't bring your own notions. I recall preaching somewhere for a pastor, and it was quite a very elderly congregation. They were pastors. And a pastor asked a question, and he said that he had been 46 years before he got born again. 46. That means your old man was very old. Something like that. 46 years. And so, for someone like that, he would be coming with a lot of experiences. I heard someone telling me one time, like that, I said, all this Christianity, all this church thing, we know about people. I'm not new to people. You can't be telling me that this is... Then why did you come? Yes, someone referred you. The person who referred you knew that I knew more than you. Probably. Knew that I would teach you. That's what you do. Then you come and you say, oh, ah, see how he's young. Let me teach you Christianity. You see, discipleship has nothing to do with your age. Has nothing to do with your age. Jesus discipled Mary. No, Mary is. Mary was Jesus' mother in the natural. If there's someone probably that you should not disciple, it should be your mother, right? Come on. I cleaned your pool. I washed your napkin. Something like that. The Bible says it's napkin. Huh? Oh, okay. I don't have a baby. Maybe so. Alright, but Mary was a disciple. How about that? That's one. But they recorded it properly. They said, Mary, the mother of the Lord, was also there with the disciples. And so age has nothing to do with your discipleship. I've seen people because of their age, they go, you are not older than, even if you are yourself of this, how many years? You are not older than the Bible. Also, discipleship is independent of your experience, of your status. Many people will not amount to anything spiritually because they cannot sit down to be discipled. Ego has taken the best of them. Nicodemus was an experienced Pharisee. I mean, you know who a Pharisee is? A Pharisee is someone who has studied the Torah, the Pentateuch. He has studied everything over probably more than 40 times. So Nicodemus, there's nothing Jesus is quoting from Genesis that Nicodemus has not seen. Yet, he came to be discipled. So, discipleship is very function of, do you have ever been in church? You could have been in church 40 years and you are not doing anything. In fact, you are not saved. You know what's possible, huh? I recall I had to get my own dad saved. I mean, it was going to go to church. I had to be the one say, Oh, God, sir. You know? As years go by, you are not the one that will counsel your parents. not the other one. You counsel you with them. The first time my dad asked me for advice, I looked at him. What is this man that beat me? You know? I said,
your pastor.
Wow. Fantabulous. Alright, so, basically, discipleship is not a function of your experience. It's also not a function of how much you have in your account. Nobody cares. Hallelujah. I believe God for a church that will stand independent and will not look at people and judge them by their account. There are many reasons why people are rich or poor. Their faith is not one of it. I'll say that again. There are many reasons why people are rich or poor, but their believing in God is not part of it. We have so much box Christianity up there. We think that anyone who is poor is not using his faith, and anyone who is rich is using his faith. That is rubbish. There are many reasons why people can be rich. Inheritance, right? The country where they were born, right? Socioeconomic status. Quite a number of reasons. But you see, when we come to the church, we have ceased to become the rich and the poor. We have now become brothers and sisters. There is no status as such as a rich men association in the church. Even though people don't call it that, but they eventually form the group. I got. Hallelujah. But discipleship is not a function of age. It's not a function of your wealth. It's not a function of your socioeconomic status. You have to sit down and be taught God's word. That makes sense? Jesus says it's for discipleship. Look, go to Luke 24. Luke 24. In verse 44, Jesus said unto them, "These are the words I spoke unto you while I was yet with you." Now, if you know a very good way to offend me, it will be not to open your Bible. So please do. The church, you came to church to open your Bible, right? No, there's no shame here. Alright. Luke 24, 44. So he said, "These are the words I spoke to you while I was yet with you, that all things might be fulfilled that are written in the law of Moses, in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me." Can we read verse 45 to 47? The hand that the Lord is carrying the scriptures. And he said unto them, "Thus it is written." Okay, so let's read verse 47 again together. I'm sorry, Bible. What's it go? "That repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among." So, again, what is the message of the church? Repentance. 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 I know we have many things that when we hear repentance, some things come to our head. Like people tearing their clothes. And then, rolling inside the mud, right? Right? And then, until that, you say, "You have not repented." I told my own mom, "Our own sign of repentance that you have repented that you are not eating food." What a repentance. Because my younger sister can stay days without food. And that's not repentance, and she has not repented. In fact, she's angry. Repentance means to change your mind towards something. It's actually from the Greek word metanoia. M-E-T-A-N-O-I-A. Now, it's just two words. There's nothing special about the Greek. Meta means to change. To change. You find metamorphosis, right? Morphology is body, right? So meta means to change the body. That makes sense. Come on, that makes sense. So metanoia means, when I say repentance, I know you probably have been in the bus when someone is preaching before. Oh my God. I can't hear the word of the Lord. Now, let me just say this. You have no right to say that someone is not preaching the gospel in the bus if you have not preached in the bus before. I've seen people say, "That's not the gospel." You that you are sitting there, why didn't you preach the gospel that you know? I've told you the gospel in your head helps nobody, right? You have to preach to. "I come to you. Are you still in fornication? That brother, God sees you. God sees you, that sister." And say, "Repent! Submit yourself in..." Okay, what's repentance? Does repentance mean I will stop doing it? Of course, eventually. If you truly repented, that means you will turn around. Right? I mean, she will stop doing it. But the primary meaning of repentance means to change your mind towards something. That means, for example, I've been seeing the palm as a thief. That's kind of funny. I've been seeing him as a thief. Now, if I say I'm going to repent, repenting means I will change the way I see. That makes sense? So Jesus says, let repentance be preached. Why? Because Israel has always seen him as the son of the carpenter. And so repentance will now mean they will start seeing him as the Savior. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? And so, what the gospel does to us is that it changes our perception. It changes our mindset towards things. Any gospel that does not change your mind is not the gospel. The gospel ought to change the way you see things. The gospel ought to change the way you view things. For example, before Jesus died, listen, before Jesus died, the mother of James and John came to Jesus, right? And said, let one of my sons now, let him sit at your right hand in the kingdom. Let the other one at your left. Have you? What? And Jesus said, are you whining me? Do you know the cup of which I will drink is a cup? Cup. Can you drink a cup? Cup. Me. Without you, me before. Yeah, can you be baptized with the baptism or be baptized with? Baptized. This is not Jordan. Just, that's my best spot. Baptism. But when Jesus is also in the midst of the world, their mind changed concerning the kingdom. It's the same thing many people see today. When they hear kingdom, Jesus the king, the first thing that comes to your mind is a very mighty empire and someone is sitting on the throne and is putting his leg on the earth. That's a very wrong perception. In fact, it's the reason why you say, you tell some people, pastor, and it's a male pastor. I'm an apostle. Because they feel, which year past pastor since you. I'm now an apostle. But if you actually understand the gospel, and you know the true meaning of an apostle, evangelist and all, you will know that we ought to be servants. In fact, what we call an apostle, apostolos in the Greek, is actually a servant, someone you send on an errand boy. We explained that in the teacher, right? Church and the ministry gates. Apostle is a delegate from a local church to another. So let's say, for example, we send Sister Judith and we send her to another church to represent the church. That is an apostle. That makes sense? An errand person. Evangelist is what you call town crier. There was nothing dignifying about these posts. But the moment you don't understand what the kingdom of God is about, you go counter. You go the other way. I'm a prophet. You see, most senior, reverend, doctor. He's the power of revelation, he's the Lord of God, he's the healer. We bring to the burden the power of our generation. Father of three. He's so great that there's no greater one. We bring to him. He has been a friend of this church for 45 years. And now he goes. Like humility. And we bring pastor. Sorry, he's not a pastor. Evangelist, doctor, prophet, reverend, not senior, bishop. If you only understand that whoever is in charge of God's people ought to be a servant. In fact, Jesus said, the greatest among you will be your servant. A particular church, a particular Christian in China spoke of last week. And he said that he was running about the church in America. He said, that the church in America, that how you know the most influential pastors is that their name is everywhere, right? And then they are allies with the government and all those things. See, but in China, that the most influential Christian leader is the resilient. That means the most influential Christian leader is not known. Nobody knows his name. Because they are under persecution. So, the moment you know the most influential one, you take him out, everything falls. And so, what they do is, the eye is the most influential, right? And that's the way it ought to be. Christianity is not a show. It's not a stage game. We now come to church, put on the light. And hey, are you in church this morning? Church is for teaching. And there's a training of the Spirit. If you don't have it, you don't have it. You know that training of the Spirit is what makes you listen to messages for them. Not many others. As some Christian, after 30 minutes of message, your buttocks is already itching. What are they doing here? What are they going to take off from? Off from God. Occupy sin. Sit down and listen to God's word. It's the reason why many people will fall into panic at times like this. Because there's no sufficient rules. Nothing. Nothing. The only Bible verse says, the Lord is my shepherd. Let's pray. Oh no. What's happening? The way you know a man that is full of the world is that you really see panic. They don't go together. Christianity and panic don't stay on the same block. Hallelujah. And so the church is for teaching. To bring a change of mindset. That means, listen very well, in our Christian journey, there are one of the things we have to relearn. Right? If you have been in this church for a while, you observe that there will be relearning being done. Sometimes, unlearning. Unlearning will be you because you say, okay. You have to learn and relearn. That is discipleship. So discipleship, and of course, every Christian ought to be a disciple. A disciple of who? Of Christ. Thank you very much. So that's what we came to church for. You have to be a disciple to grow. You have to be a disciple. In these days, when you don't realize your class, they will be asking, so what do you need to do once again? We shouldn't say that. In fact, you ought not to be, wherever you are trained, you serve them. Yours is to be available to serve. So what do you need to do once again, church? All those choir people. I don't like learning and cool. Where's the uncle? Uniform. I don't like wearing uniform with people. I don't like wearing the same thing. Media. That's strange. The technical. I don't be running around when PT only. Like, I've gone to join again. I don't be running around. At my status. Can't I get a company to take care of that? Then what about what? You say? What? I'll be washing toilet. Washing toilet. There's church toilet. You know where I am. Who are you? No, who are you? Some people that say, do you know who I am? A demon will ask them, who are you? Just like he asked the seven son of Sceva. Who are you? Jesus, I know you. Who are you? Hallelujah. You ought to be a disciple. A disciple is a learner. When you come into Christ, you now start learning. You don't come with preconceived knowledge. You don't come with, I already know how to pray. You start learning to pray. Hallelujah. Alright, so again, discipleship changes our mode of thinking. Does that make sense? Also, it will shape the way we see people in relationships. It will change the way we see people. Remember, we're talking about relationships, right? Right? We've talked about marriage. We've talked about brothers. What it means to be brothers. I want to teach you what it means to be friends. So, discipleship also changed the way you see people in relationships. For example, Jesus' half-brothers or Jesus' brothers, they never saw him differently. James, Jews, Jesus' mother did not now start saying Jesus as my son. She now started saying Jesus as who? My savior. Brethren, again. There's the guy there. She now started saying Jesus as the Lord. Of course, brethren, so, but as the Lord primarily. So, when you start learning scriptures, it changes your perception and views about others. To detect your opinion about people. You must allow the word of God to shape that. Look at Acts 10. Let me just give you the background. In Acts 10, Peter had a vision of ladder, right? I don't know, you know that in scriptures? You know that in scriptures? Mr. Acts 10. So, he had a vision of ladder and four-footed beasts were going up and down the ladder, right? Come on, he was hungry. You can turn back to Acts 10 now. Definitely, you know, that's where we are. Alright, so, in the vision, he was hungry. Or in the trance. And, the angels said, kill and eat. Right? Now, let's go there. Let's go there. Acts 10. Please open your Bible. Many of us are used to coming to church and the pastor performing for you.
In the beginning, it was the word, and it was good, and good.
Open your Bible. I don't have stress for that one. Verse 13. You there? And there came a voice unto him, says, rise, Peter, kill and eat. Verse 14.
Peter said, not so, Lord.
I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean.
Can we read verse 15 together once more?
And the voice spoke unto him, saying, what God has cleansed, you will not call ordinary, not call common. What God has cleansed. That means you ought to now start to see things with the eyes of God. For example, let's say you preach to someone who was involved in prostitution. I've done that before, quite a number of times. A sinner who was involved in prostitution, not a prostitute. Many of us feel like some sins are greater than some sins. So a sinner that was involved in prostitution, right? And you know, after preaching to such a person, there's a high chance that you start to look at the person with that eyes, with that view. I'm not going to do that, right? You know? That's it. And then I had to call the person's sister. When I was done, of course, she was already saved. I was done preaching, she was saved. So I had to say, sister. She was saying in my mouth. Sister. Sister, so the next thing is church now. Not start knowing that. Why? Because we have reminded that, but no, the scriptures must shape the way he sees. What the scripture says is that when a man comes to Christ, he has become the Son of God. Right? So that's your brother. That makes sense? That's your brother. So, you ought to now start seeing him with that. It's the reason why you still see, drug addicts, saved drug addicts something, you know? The church will say they are probably taking drug addicts from the road, and they will still open, like a group. Like, former drug addicts. No! He is now a brother! Hallelujah! You stop seeing him with that! So, the scriptures, God's word is what must impress the way you see people. Chances are high that if you are well to do, you have some cash on your account, a little cash, because you are not being rich. Chances are high that when you see someone who is not doing as much as good as you are doing, you can sell them in the presence of man. Right? So you are all in church. If you have done that this morning, repent. That means you change your mind, right? You come somewhere and say, I can't sit here, I can't sit beside this person. Right? It's not your class. What class are you? It's not your class. And you say, I don't know. Mm-mm. The gospel has classed us into the same group. The gospel has put us into the same cage. That makes sense? We are now brothers. See, even if you're a king in the natural, I mean a king of the town or a community or not, the moment you come to church, I've told you before, you tell your staff, I don't know that, the staff, the crown, you drop it outside. Walai. Some black also can adjust. You will drop it outside. Because in the gospel, Jesus is king. And so, you will come to the level of another brethren. That makes sense? Is it? I can't go to that church. The kind of cars I was seeing. They're not my time. Then go and walk in the garage. The gospel does not need your car. What God said is not your car. What God said is you. Hallelujah. And so, we must start seeing one another, not from the eyes of things in the natural, but from what? The word of God. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? So, what God has cleansed, catechism, what God has cleansed, you will not call common. So, from there, Peter began to see common as differently. Right? Began to see common as differently. Remember the story? Saul, Paul, right? Come on. Jesus appeared to Ananias and said, you will go to the street called Street, Acts 9. You will see a particular brother praying, right? He's Saul of Tarsus. And I said, hey, God! Lord, let me gist you. I know you are Lord, but I don't see anything. But, we will know what that guy is doing. That guy. Lord, are you still here, Lord? He wants to kill you. You know what Jesus told Ananias? Go. That's like a shut up. go to where I sent you. And Ananias was a good disciple. You know what he did? The moment he saw Paul, what did he do? He said, Brother Paul. That's what he said. He said, Brother Paul, the Lord Jesus that appeared to you on the way to Damascus has appeared to me. You see, brother? The gospel just changed the way he saw Paul. That makes sense? In fact, as long as you remember, when you say, I'm a robber. I'm a robber, or I'm the robber, actually. Someone who was into trouble, you know, the moment he accepts the life of Christ, you must change the life of the person. Is that clear? Is that clear? Alright, so, again, the gospel affects our perception. So, God's word can correct the belief systems. God's word can correct it. In Acts 15, they will now ask Peter about Cornelius. In Acts 15, people turn there. Let's read something. Let me something. Are you there? Let me something. Alright. In Acts 15, verse 6. So, the elders and the apostles came together to consider this matter. What matter? That the Gentiles were getting saved. Verse 7. And then when there was much disputing, Peter rose up and said to them, Men and brethren, know that a good while ago, God made a choice among us, that the Gentiles by their mouth should hear the word of the gospel and what? Believe. Can we verse it together? And God, who knows their heart, bears them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us, and putting no difference between us and them, purifying the heart by faith. And so, God sees the heart. He says, putting no difference. God has made no difference. The fact that someone was into prostitution, he was into armed robbery, God has made no difference. He's now your brother. Hallelujah. There are chances that I'm saying with intention. You go now to church, you go to preach to someone. And then, maybe the way you made the brother was, he was offering up sacrifices. You know, sweet smelling sample. And he was playing some loud music and he broke them, right? Because the gospel is for everyone, right? And God said, I want to preach. No, chances are high that when he now says, I believe. You say, No, what do you believe about God? If you're someone else, you would have said, oh, you believe God. Let's pray together. Hey, for this one, let's say, you believe. Take your time, don't rush it. Pastor said, you know, rush it. You believe, what do you believe? Because in your mind, how can you just believe like that? So what do you believe? Are you believing that you are just pray? Are you whining? Are you whining when you are preaching? Are you whining? What do you believe? No, don't rush. Don't say you just want me to go. No. Let's come again. Why? Because in your mind, you have put a difference. There's a God who knows no difference, can find their heart by faith. Hallelujah. So, again, so you are your brother, sir, brother. So anyone who is in Christ is your brother. And we've already explained that for 2 weeks. Also, we have friendship in Christ. Friendship. In fact, is one of the vital relationships you can have. Let me say this because you don't get choose your siblings. How many choose your siblings? Eh? You don't get to, right? In fact, you don't get to choose the country which you are a citizen of. Left to some of you, you will not come to Nigeria. Right? Right? You say yes, sir. I love Nigeria. No, I'm serious about that. I love this country. No. I mean, I can't go anywhere else. I can't treat Nigeria for another country. And say, hey, Canada is my own. So you don't get to choose the country which you were born. You don't get to choose your father. Dangote would have had many sons. You don't get to choose your mother. But you know what? You get to choose your friends. So it's a vital relationship. You actually can choose who your friends are and who you are friends with. Hallelujah. But Paul gives us a guideline in 2 Corinthians 6. I want to go fast with this now, please. 2 Corinthians 6. In 2 Corinthians 6. Can we look at verse 13? Verse 14. Can we look at verse 14 to verse 17, everybody. Want to go? Be not unequal with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion has life with this? What concord has Christ rebellion? Or what part has life with them? And what argument has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of God, but the son of God. And I'm working with the God of the my people. Wherefore, come out from among them and be separate. Say the Lord, touch not the unclean thing and I will see. What did the Lord say in verse 14? He says, don't be unequally yoked. We have a teacher like that. Be not unequally yoked. So, there's a primary guideline. He's saying, let me explain the unequal yoke. Who's the tallest there? My brother. Deception. Deception. Deborah, come. And off that you are in. Come. No. Come, my brother. Don't worry, we're almost there, my. Shame on you. Now, oh God. This one is, I will not go fire. This one is down, I just put it on. Now, if you ask them, both of them, to fight. You need to look at me. Yeah. But, it's going to be injustice to my brother. Right? Even you to your also. I like you. Because it's an unequal yoke. They are not of the same sort. He's stronger, he's taller, when you're looking at him. You get what I'm saying? But the moment, you can go and say, come, you wait. But the moment I get myself and him, we can, right? Nobody will separate us. We are equal yoke. You get what I'm saying? But me going to face him is he writing my suicide notes. You know, sometimes things work differently, brother. Right? So, Paul says, don't be unequally yoked. Anyone have a teacher like that, you should listen to it. Don't be unequally yoked. So, that means you have to define your relationships. He says, what concord does Christ have with an infidel, with the believer, with the temple of idols? What concord? That is, you can't have a concord. It will be a... Okay, let me show you something. Is the keyboard on? Now, you get on the ground. Are you ready? Right? Yeah, the keyboard is for you. Come on, YouTube. Do something. Now, stop it. Play. We are playing here. About. He says, when you have an unbeliever with a believer in a deep relationship, that's exactly how it sounds. This was even better. It's a total discord. But no. A total, something that is not amorphous. It will not be very different. When you have a believer and an unbeliever, how can you say someone is your best friend? Bestie? I'm not going to. Bestie, and your bestie is in the world. That's an unequal yoke. And so we have a guideline for our deepest of friendships. Number one, your friend should be your brother. I mean, your friend should be a Christian. Now, am I saying you have nothing to do with people who are not believers? Of course not. I'm a business person. I see this is always not saved yesterday night. As a business deal. I like him. I have to like him. I have to like him. He is
is in your heart. But you see, your deepest friendships, the people you trust the most, for example, this is the way, Jesus had the 500, right? That Paul recorded in 1 Corinthians 15. Then he had the 70, right? The 70 sent out to preach 2 by 2, right? Remember? Then he had the 12, right? Then he had the 3, then he had Peter. That must be your stratified friendship. You must know the people that are part of the 500.
That means, our friend, that friend, you understand what you understand what you are saying as you are saying, friend, he's part of the 500. Then you know the 70. They are quite closer. You must have defined relationships. Defined relationships. You must have the 12. They are much more closer. But you know, not everywhere the 3 went to that the 12 went to. There are places where, of course, for example, the Mount of Transfiguration, Matthew 17, Jesus took who? James, John, and Peter. Where were the 9? The other 9. It's not theirs. You must define your relationships. Then there are times where you say, just Peter. For example, when Jesus rose from the dead, Paul said, he first saw Peter, who was son of Simon, then of the 12. It was sin of Simon. In fact, in John 21, when Jesus gave him the final command, he called Peter. He said, Simon, come. You don't like me. We take care of these ones. Stratified, defined relationships. Does that make sense? You must define it. And so, again, we said we have a guy, right? We have a primary guy for relationships, right? An equal you, right? You must be an equal you. Must be an equal you. Thank you, Jesus. So, again, friendship is of God. You should have friends. You simply say that boom. You think that by frowning, you are being spiritual. And most pastors fall into this trap. Sorry about that. When you lose that, it doesn't spiritual. Just carry Bible and bless you. So, good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Bless. So, in the end, you have your voice changed.
Good morning. God bless you.
God bless you, my son. I don't have a son. When I have a son, I'll call someone my son. You get a son.
God bless you.
I remember the first time. So, he's only watching match. He said, hey, so you watch match. I guess he just listened to, I think Salvation People Series 1. Or Daniel Prophets 1, I'm not sure. So he came around to my office. He used to be one of the Lord. Well, he came around to my office and then, there's an Arsenal game. There's an Arsenal game. And if you know me well, you know when there's an Arsenal game, I watch Arsenal games. I don't miss it. Except there's a retreat or there's church meeting.
What is it?
Because Arsenal doesn't contradict church as never. Only Chelsea match contradict church. And so, he's only watching the match. Say, ah, wow, Pastor, wow. I never even watched the match. Only Michael. Match? I watch matches. There is nothing in Christianity that exempts you from being friendly. When you come to church, they start pulling like the ones that killed Jesus. Even if you are the one, you are not the only one. Welcome back to church.
Welcome.
Who collected your bread?
Welcome to church.
Say, tell people I love you.
I love you. I feel like I want to kill you.
Now tell your neighbor I love you. Yeah, let's see what I'm saying. Tell your neighbor I love you. I will put you on that. Sister, you know something. Tell your neighbor I love you. I'm not your neighbor. Thank you for loving me. Your neighbor. Christianity is friendship. In fact, Jesus was called a friend of sinners. That is, someone who is fond of them. Someone who has an affection for them. And we have to define friendship this morning. Hallelujah. Friendship is of God. Jesus is also our friend. So we must be disciples of a good friendship. Judas was a bad friend. Judas was a bad friend. In fact, when you are making your confessions of who you are in Christ, say it, I'm not a Judas. Jesus was a good friend to Judas. He taught him God's word, right?
who provided for his needs. But he knew they were all sunk. But Judas was a bad friend.
Anytime you see, let me say this very well. Anytime you see someone who is well respected, suddenly he's getting dishonored. Someone who was close to him betrayed him. When you see someone who is well respected, and suddenly people are just treating anything. Someone who was close to him did that. There's no, the lizard cannot enter the world except there's a crack. I just told you about the English now.
Don't be a betrayer.
Someone who betrays. Again, Matthew 26, let's tell them. The anatomy of Judas, the betrayer. In Matthew 26, verse 47. Again, we're talking about friendship, right? The disciples of the love of God. Verse 47. And while he yet spoke to Judas, one of the 12, here's the emphasis, one of the 12. And he filled with multitude with swords, stains, and the chiefs and elders of the people. Now he that betrayed him gave them a sign, saying, whosoever I shall kiss, will be first. He gave them a sign. That means he brought the sign of a friend. He kissed them. Now, my friend, the real rare. But what did he do? Verse 50, verse 49. And forthwith he came to Jesus and said, hey, master. You see that? Hey, master, like, oh, wow. The sign of a friend. And kissed them. And Jesus said, friend, where are you coming from? Wow. Friend. You've not seen that before, right? The friend, where are you coming from? I thought your friends should know where you are, right? They should know where you're coming from. They should know you. Judas, the first step of betrayal is to understand with your hand. He started associating with them. Before you know it, of course, he had the price. 30 big. Jesus was there. Friend, where are you coming from? Jesus was a good friend to Judas. But apparently, Judas was a bad one. Don't betray people. I'm saying that again. Don't betray people. Naturally, I would drop on people who I see that they betray people. You know, it doesn't have to be large scale. It doesn't have to be large scale. But I see the way you talk about your friend. You can make him know the way I work with you. See what you're talking about. Is that your friend? Who's my friend? Oh, show like that. Don't like my friend like that, bro. Don't like my friend, bro. You are even the only one that I'm close to like that. But we are even going to be. How come suddenly he's not like your friend like that? That smells of betrayal. And this loyalty. What we have in Christ is loyalty, true and true. I will explain later. The fact that I am biased about some people. There's nothing you can tell me about them. I'll possibly be able to say to me, I'm biased about them. It's just me. Probably is why I don't have many people around. Because I would rather not be your friend at all than be the one that will betray you. In fact, if you are my friend, you can go and sleep. You know what I mean? Go and sleep. Be sure that nobody can get to you from me. It's a closed door. Amen. Be friends to people. Don't be a Judas. You can't practice Christianity and you are betraying people who trusted you. In fact, Judas was told to pass now. And then he was saying, Judas, are you sure we can catch him? No. Change this in the camp meeting. This is my camp meeting. And I saw you sat in front. Like these folks. You sat in front. I saw you sat in front. You know you have made us on me, Judas. You made us on me. The vice is talking. You say, eh? You don't know who I am to you. See, that's Jesus that you guys are using. You say, ha, you can disappear. This is our death. I was there. He parted. But the one that I went on outreach in Galilee, you know that place, that way there is test of fish in Galilee. When we came back, he was tired, he was snoring. I mean, put in leg like this, hey, okay, Lord. There's nothing special about him. When you find people who talk like that, about all this, they will use it. Take a step back. You have found someone who betrays people. Don't betray people. Hallelujah. So, if you are close to someone, whether it's your husband, your wife, your friend, your pastor, you take that as an opportunity to grow the friendship. Oftentimes, they say, familiarity breeds contempt, right? That is, the more you're close to someone, or the closer you are to someone, chances are high that you start seeing the person as ordinary. And probably is more reason why most pastors tend to keep the distance. Not everybody can be close because of the pastor. Because familiarity breeds that. There's nothing special, Joe. There's nothing special. It's the reason why many people look forward to bringing special guests to their church. That meeting. I would just want a special guest like another pastor come. Or is this pastor? Also, we teach again. You are familiar already? Familiarity ought to breed honor. When you are close to someone, see it as an opportunity to grow that friendship. See it as an opportunity to know the person more, to access the person more, to be a blessing and to receive the blessing the person offers. Not to now get familiar and get in dishonor and offense. Hallelujah. Everybody here, a person like that, you reach out to me and said, I want to be your friend. That was 2016. I said, no problem. So, it's a short life, right? Be my friend. Let's be friends. I said, I don't know what you mean, but you probably have to initiate most of the things. He said, no problem, thank you. So, he started calling, you know, asking how's everything, how's ministry. I'm fine. And we got to start singing, you know. Later, he just stopped talking, like I expected. Why? Because he was far off before, he felt, there's something about this guy. They used to call him Kenyon. So, he wanted to know, what's about this Kenyon, what does he have? So he wanted to, by the time he now came, there's nothing special. Yeah, really, I don't know. There's nothing special. I eat, and I saw me eating, you saw me, I'm watching my game. It was the year. Which is the first game, I must pray. You know, I joke a lot. I laugh a lot. Some of you probably have not seen that. I laugh a lot. And so he has seen everything. You know, there is a see finish. It felt like there was nothing else. But that is not the attitude of a good friend. Because you're going to have a lot of sea finish in your marriage. That fine sister, don't have a thing. You now see her every day. That's what the trouble will be. You now see that you're going to say you're the most beautiful, person in the world. And you know you're lying. She too, she knows you're lying. You're the most beautiful. I've not seen someone like you. Wow. You are going to be here today. You know you're never meant. You know, after saying all of that, you're not mad. You're not asking her every day. And every night without week. And without makeup, that's where the world will start. And with your papa, say, can you continue wear clothes? You wear papa. I'm in the house. This was not the sweet start. This is the pepperoni I saw. You must have been finished. Your familiarity must breed honor. It must breed honor. That makes sense? It's handle your friendship with honor. Okay. In John 18, let me just begin with that. In John 18 verse 1, when Jesus opened this world, he went forth with his disciples over the brook Cedron, where was a garden, into which he entered and his disciples. Verse 2, and Jesus also, and Judas also, which betrayed him, but Jesus oftentimes resorted there with what? His disciples. That means, John 18 1 to 2, that's what I just read. That means, listen, where Jesus went that night, Where Jesus came to kiss him was where he used to go with his closest friends. That means that place was not for everybody. He used to go there when he wants to be away from the crowd, when he wants to just be alone with his own people. But guess what? Judas took the enemy there. Be a loyal person. Every friendship will always have its own test. That's just it. Every friendship will have its own test. A test to prove whether it will last or not. Let me show you one. Imagine one. Let me see. So every friendship must be tested and proven. Imagine one. I'm talking about Joseph and me.
Only example. Eh?
So Mary and Joseph had a relationship. You know, there was, of course, they were going to get married. And Mary came
and said, "Hey Joe, I want to see him."
"So you are seeing me? Listen very well."
And Mary said, "I can't see my period. I didn't see my period." He said, "That's fine. That's a medical case. So that's a medical case. Hope is not UTI. Hope is not any. Are you sure?"
Mary said, "No, not that. I'm pregnant."
"Huh?
Mary? You said?"
"I'm pregnant. I'm pregnant."
She can't even say it well. And Mary starts opening scripture. Isaiah said it.
"Shut up, Isaiah! Did Isaiah mention your name?"
"Did he quote you?"
"No.
Let me explain it. Did he say you are the one? Did he mention Mary you are?"
And then they say, "No. The Bible says, we."
And you can't blame Joseph. I believe we have been one of very those quiet guys. Not those quiet guys. And they are boiling for the new year in world.
I don't know what
I'm talking about. I said, "Okay. I don't have a friend like that. If he says something like that, just go beg him. In my mother's house."
I don't know.
Oh, God. Like a devil. He did not pass like this. He did not like this. Okay. If he says so, go and beg him. Your provision is not safe. Your life is not safe. He will tear your bed, burn your head. He's a crazy guy. And so, we want to tell him to talk. If he says, no, I'm not accepting that now. Why would you lie? You know that you have said his mind. But we won't be aware of this. That's what you want. That's what you want. No problem. And he will go like this. Then he will work. Like them. So, Joseph must have been there and say,
"Imagine."
So, you that one that Isaiah talked about, Abby. You are the one. I guess. Wow. You are new. Wow. You are new testament. Cool.
What did you say again? You are pregnant.
By Holy Ghost. Makes sense. Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. Which street does Holy Ghost stay?
So, the wife to be.
But look at what Joseph did. That brings out the value of friendship. Matthew 1. Can we read verse 19? Can we together want to go? "Then Joseph husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put his eye away privately." That shows the value of friendship. Now, what you observe is that he didn't accept it too. Right? But you know what? He didn't publicize it. Of course, you can't blame him. So you two, would you have believed? No, now you two, you have asked me.
So we have not done anything. But pregnant by both of us.
Yeah. Mary, we didn't go just together.
You can't fool me.
I will not bear this today.
We are born in the world of humans.
You can't fool me. I send them. Mary, I send them. I'm talking in the world. You can blame me. But you know what? You didn't open a blog. See? Dear brothers out there, be careful. Be careful.
That's why I'm going to pastor.
She's a pastor. Pastor in quotes.
Only girls who are having me.
And then you see people commenting. Yeah, so, in my age of two, have you seen Christians like that? Just open your mouth and say anything. What is there a better way to be foolish? In my own church too, I said we have one sister. Well, you know, 1,000 comments.
Only God knows who you are coming in.
Are you part of them?
End times are
How can someone pray out of Holy Ghost?
He didn't have a block.
He didn't put it on a CP.
That puts
art that is apart. I've had people put it. I've never, there's only emojis and emoticons I will never use in my life. And I know it. After that part, you say, brothers, be careful out there. No one is wrong. Beware of drugs.
You don't put it on deeper.
No, they are put it on deeper and put it on blood. How would the angel convince him? And it really becomes him. He didn't assist that word. You know what I'm saying? The value of relationships. Sometimes you keep quiet on the error of your friend perfectly. It's not that he accepted it, but because he's your friend, his error must stay private. Hallelujah. I call you a story of three friends. And one of them messed up. One of them messed up really bad. He shouted at the other two. And it happened in the middle. Shouted at the other two, they were very close friends. And shouted, let everybody go their way. And the two other friends left. Now, the one who told the story was the third friend. One of the other two. One of the two. And he said, as they were going, the third person now told him, I was telling us the story, that we are going to act like this never happened. We are friends. That spoke to me. I mean, the guy just shouted at them. He just told them that he doesn't want to see them again. And said, we are going to act like this never happened. That's how you act to your friends. You think
you are not my lie. If you don't know, you are not my lie. If you don't know, you are talking a nonsense.
Be a good friend. Hallelujah. We are in a world where people just like to make noise. Just say, and do that with discretion. I'm not a Judas.
You are
looking for the downfall of Jesus. He knew it. Everybody who is here knew it. He knew that they wanted to take Jesus. He tried it many times, right? And yet, what was he doing with them? Being a friend. What was he doing there? We should start with a conversation about Jesus. But as he said, Jesus matter now, wow. Yes, there's nothing special about Jesus. There's nothing really, there's nothing. If you do anything to me, I mean, the space is not even much. You know, so first people talk about their pastor like that. Member, meeting at the back, talking about the pastor. Idioti, that woman. How can two members be talking about the pastor? And then my pastor, see. That was it. You see, you're talking pastor. My pastor. You know, maybe, no. We do a perfect time. Chat apart from this church. I don't keep myself. My psych perfect moment. I don't really like him. See, they, every time, we become Zafishi. I want chop. Every time, don't let anybody manipulate him on of honor. And he's going to manipulate him. Make foolish. Someone came to me. He said, see, I learned that you learned from so-so-so. That you like so-so-so pastor. Don't let anybody manipulate you. I said, exactly. You are the one that wants to manipulate him. Why are you? But many people are foolish. You too, now.
Yes, I'm not lying.
You're going to be like that. I'm not lying. I'm manipulating him. I'm sufficient for my own. I'm rich. Can you see this point? Well, now, D.I. You don't understand that, don't worry. Can you see this point? This point. I'm a unique person. I'm standing alone in Christ. It's not like this is the only church. It's not like this is the only church. Ah, there are many churches in the world. There are many powers in the world. You are just a disloyal person. Don't come back with anything. You are just not loyal. And you betray me. By the time you are done betraying this one, you see the opportunity in the next place you are going to. Find it out. Don't you are still something long ahead for you to succeed. Hallelujah. Be a good actor. Only a fool who says everything everywhere. Relationships are built on trust. Trust me, I can rely on you. I'll say it again. Relationships are built on what? Trust. Are there people you trust? Are there people who can trust you? And he said, so can never betray you. Why? Because you don't find that in Christ. That's it. You don't find betrayal in Christ. There are people on bad stuff. Let me say it very well. So let me say this. Listen very well. If you have a friend, and someone comes to tell you something that is not common,
God's telling you something that is not okay. I'm saying this. You are obliged, under every condition, to hear out your friend first. Before you believe anything. I mean, you have a friend you have for years, maybe 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years. I have friends that far back as 20 years. You are obliged, as a good friend, to hear the person out first. There's nothing that takes a relationship than love. Very few things, let me say it that way. Very few things test and prove relationship than one.
Pastor, there was there a member, a particular member that I don't like him. I don't like him. How can I pastor you and I don't like you? That's an oxymoron. It's not possible. So say it's not possible to pastor someone you don't like. You don't know. Like it's an impossibility. Anyway, so that was I constrained. So I called him. I said, "What was wrong? You never said this one before. Why have you been giving that attitude?" Then he started. I saw his eyes red. So he just wanted to know the place. Which place again? I know you don't like me. I know you don't like me, but who told you that? Who told you we're rubbish? Then he mentioned this corner. So don't call him. So now call the other guy. Of course, that's what I like to do. We don't say anything. What you said to him, say it again. 1, 2, or 3, I got it. You're now 3. And guys have to stamp him. What did I say? Okay, what happened that on Thursday? When there's no time on Thursday. What did you say? Then no, I want to start from where it started. The Lord Genesis. What did you say? You could not repeat it. So who told you that I don't have it? Then no, I just assumed. You see, there's nothing that tests a relationship than honest. You owe your friend to me now. But you know, Joseph was a good friend to Mary. He kept it private. So relationships are built on trust. If you tell me anything about my friend, I will tell you to wait and I'll call the person one by one. And I'll tell you, I will mention your name. See, always need to eradicate scorn. If you can stand that, then that's okay. But what you will find out among this scornful is that, as I was saying, you didn't mention my name. Why? You're saying the truth that I should mention your name. Hello? Yes, talk to him. He said that I don't have sense. Is that true? You go for both of your sense now. But talk to him. Eradicate this corner. Someone said, it's sentimental. How can you say you'll be bad? You have to hear your friend out first. That's sentimental. Everything is sentimental. Your belief in the guy is sentimental. I hope you know. It's a sentiment. Some people don't know. Or you don't know. Some people don't know. Sentimental. There are relationships that you can be sentimental about. You have to pass to me. Because you are a loyal friend. I will cover my friend publicly. I will deal with him. I've told you before. When we went with our friends. One of our friends. We told him. He said, are you not going to end like this? Because we bash into his house. Frowning. He is going to say, we need to be strong. But normally when we enter the house, it's with joy, you know, there's always food there, you know, so extra joy. But that day we just frown, and when we open the gate, you already knew that fire was in the morning. Bow! Oh! There was, see, this is what you believe in your life. Now what is it? When we have even done past, that was it. That was ministry, right? Just when we come to it. We're so aki. I'm going to hell, if you don't know. Repent and go, I'm going to call us back. Are you not going to apologize? That's because we are friends. But guess what? Before that happened, we have just finished defending him. The people who told us, we defended him in front of them. He said, no. It must be a mistake. Let's find out. You can't do something like that intentionally. We were supposed to be something like that intentionally. But guess what? We are friends. Peter was a Lord covers a multitude of sin. So, we are not just fake friends. We're fake friends that will defend you outside and come and defend you inside again. And we are done defending him. It's not time to defend ourselves. So you're a bad person. The friends that you call, I have friends like that. If I want to hear some serious matter, I'll call them. They tell me
Tell me what you feel of me right now. And I know you. The man who blocked me will not be your pastor. He said, I've always known you have sense. Let me start from this start. If you read that, because, there was a time, I got the paragraph that I called him recently, and he said, the Bible said, I said, don't tell me the Bible. You and I know the Bible. Tell me what I don't want to hear. Make me know what I don't want to hear. I said, okay, thank you for the answer, sir. Actually, you don't have sense. That's a thing. I don't know what I want to do. Tell me what I want to do. No. I see life. He said, God says you not discipleship again. I see way. No. I see way inside, outside. Mashaka, king, ahoko, bali, yaka. Maya, masabu. Mashaidabu, mashaidabu. I just see open doors. You don't want to have a friend. I always see open doors. You have never corrected you before. That's not a friend. I'm not a Judas. And so, be loyal to people. There are people in your life that you are loyal to. Husband, definitely. Your wife. Be loyal to your wife. Be loyal. Be fidel. Be trustworthy. Hallelujah. Pray for me as a close. In Proverbs 25, verse 19 as a close. Yes. Let us all turn to Proverbs 25, verse 19. Can we all read together? Once you go. Confidence in an unfaithful man in the time of trouble is like a broken tooth and the foot out of your... How many of you have had a broken tooth before? Huh? How many of you have had a broken tooth before? Just what? 2, 3, 4, 5? How does it feel? Huh? I remember the day I went with my mula. My God. I've never seen my friend cry because I was crying. I've never seen it. We are adults already. adult means over 18. That's probably from years ago. I've never seen him cry. Normally, when one of us is crying, we just jest about it. They are allowed to cry. But this was different. Because of the pain. And I saw him. I am so much here. I was crying. What about you, myself? Something this one.